that, of course, was Skidmark Bob, Just Kiddin', and Phil Free's famous Any Donation album, which you probably can pick up today downtown if you want. That's right in front of, well, who knows, Borders, Cooper House. You'll see some questionable musician, grubbly clad with some kind of cap on, probably playing illegally within next to a building. It's illegal to play now within 6 feet of a building, and after January 14th, if Cynthia Matthews has her way, it'll be illegal to play within 10 feet of a building, 10 feet of a bench, 10 feet of a kiosk, 10 feet of a crosswalk. Doesn't leave a lot of space. And it'll also be illegal to politically table. But if you want to get that particular album, and it's a good one, check him out. It's called Any Donation Accepted. And if my eyes were better, I would read the small print. Interestingly, it's got 27 songs from Free the Air all the way down to question mark, question mark, question mark. Apparently these songs are so good they defy titles. Due to the silly laws of the city of Santa Cruz, write the singers, we are Just Kiddin' have devised this new album to comply with the powers that be just enough to, and again, the rest of it is a little illegible to my failing eyesight, but as soon as I get a better set of glasses, I'll be able to read further. You can read further. Just go down and pick up this album. I think it's Any Donation, and of course they prefer, I think Phil prefers $10, but we don't allow commercial announcements on this station, so I will not go any further on that particular line. This is, of course, Free Radio, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norse, your host. We're going to be rolling ahead for 3.5 hours. We have a phone line that works. It's open, 427-3772, area code 831, in case you're in the Philippines, Russia, or possibly Iraq, and you wish to call in, 831-427-3772. I'll do my best to translate, but of course my translating skills are limited, so do speak English. You can also sing, you can chant, you can make merry. This is a station that is your station. I, of course, focus on civil rights issues, and that is my particularly locally focus on civil rights issues. I don't think much of that is done here in the mainstream media, and the alternative media does it a little bit, but not as much as I'd like to see it happen. The alarm was a good first step, but then seemed to fizzle. Get in there, Far, do some more on the alarm. Let's get some local stories going. You can also tune to Santa Cruz Indie Media if you have a computer. That's a suggestion for you. That's www.santacruz, one word, small letters, dot indie, I-N-D-Y, media, M-E-D, I-N-D-Y, M-E-D-I-A, dot org. I think it's dot org. But if it isn't, try dot com, and one of these days I'll remember the right ending there. Very good site, the Indie Media site, particularly for local stuff. I put all my stuff on it, of course. That's one of the reasons it's such a good site. But it also provides for a lot of, again, local discussion and the very, very much missing anti-war discussion. What we really need to discuss is why we are out on the streets. So we don't need to discuss it. We need to get out on the streets and stop the war. I know this sounds perhaps visionary, but it's something I think that the country can do if it does it. The politicians in Washington will respond to mass protest, and I guess to me the idea of waiting until a particular date in mid-January to protest, or mid-February, we have a local protest, I understand, for February 14th or February 15th coming up, which I salute, but nonetheless, we need to do it now, and I've been urging people to get together a vigil downtown, get together some kind of 24-hour presence somewhere in the city, call in to the mayor and to the representative or misrepresentative Farr, and or the Board of Stoops, and tell them to call an emergency town hall meeting so we can essentially light a fire that other cities can see and that Washington can see that says no war, no Iraq attack. I think that's really important, even as we focus on local issues. And local issues are coming up today. Street performers are meeting. They're going to be coming up with some consensus that they will bring to the next city council meeting. I should say the next regular city council meeting. That's Tuesday, January 14th. Tomorrow, Tuesday the 7th, day after tomorrow, there is another council meeting, a sort of a special one in the afternoon and in the evening that will not have an oral communication period and that will not cover the street performers issue, but it will have a long session on a so-called five-year plan to end homelessness. My initial reaction is a pain in the small of my back, a slight feeling of nausea and weariness, and a sense that, oh, here go the poverty pimps again with solutions that have nothing to do with basic concerns like shelter, medical care, civil rights issues. They just have to do with essentially band-aids and jobs for middle-class people. And that certainly is a rather partisan view. I know there are others who think differently about this. I believe that Thomas Levitt, Green Party activist, city council candidate, and HUF member, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a civil rights group for the homeless, is going to be having a show on the AM station, KSCO, tomorrow, for all of you who occasionally listen to that station. It's at 10 o'clock in the morning, runs till 12, and he will have as his guests, I believe one of them will be Homeless Issues Task Force former chair, Linda LeMaster, who led that group, which was a city council-appointed group, kind of a throwing a bone to the activists or to the community or putting up a nice little cover or throwing a bone perhaps to former council members Crone and Sugar, who lost in their very, very tepid struggle to get the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance overturned or significantly modified. Catherine Byers and Tim Fitzmaurice sold out on that issue big time, and of course we had the usual anti-homeless crowd, Matthews, Rotkin, and Hernandez. And unfortunately, three of those, of course, came back in November, so the city council is pretty badly weighted against the public around homeless civil rights issues. But as always, the city council is amenable to pressure from the streets and from the suites and from you. And the number to call if you want to demand something about winter shelter not being available, as it is only available for 160 people out of 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people tonight, you can give a call to Mayor Emily Smiley Riley, as I call her. Her number is 420-5022. That's her business number, her special business line that she doesn't give out, but that she should give out. Instead of having to weave your way through the city council matrix, call 420-5022 and leave a message for her. Make an appointment to see her and demand that shelter be expanded and that the right of homeless people to shelter themselves be decriminalized so it does not become a crime to set up a tent against the rain and the cold and to shelter your family or just to sleep in your car. These things are crimes in Santa Cruz, as regular listeners know, and it's a scandal. It's absurd. It's abusive. You know, it's something that we should call in UN investigators to investigate. They're sending weapons inspectors to Iraq. Well, we should have some civil rights monitors here in Santa Cruz. And who knows, maybe someday we will. But street performers are getting together today and tomorrow. The performers meet today. The stakeholders, as it's called, meet tomorrow. They are the sort of groups affected by the proposed changes in the ordinances, the downtown ordinances. We heard so much about these dreadful downtown ordinances pushed originally by Porter and Riley, now being carried by Matthews and Rotkin. Pretty horrible situation where innocent behavior, such as performing or tabling or sitting or peacefully spare changing, has become a $162 crime for the first strike and a $1,000 6 months in jail, or perhaps it's a year in jail, crime for the second strike and subsequent strikes. And this is what we're faced with in liberal, liberal, liberal Santa Cruz. This is a wave of darkness that's rolling over the country. It doesn't just come from Washington. It comes from bigotry inside our own community. It comes from fear and paranoia inside our own community. And it comes from the failure of good people to speak out and to stand up on this issue inside our own community, I'm sorry to say. Because if enough of us stood up and did something, if we showed up during shopping season downtown with sleeping bags and stayed there, the city council would find some solution other than giving the police a blank check to harass the homeless. If we stood up beside street performers as they attempt to add some life and color and vitality and community to our city, then the hosts and the CSOs would not be running around telling people they couldn't have donation cans out, harassing them when they sit down on the lips of planters. We wouldn't have Parks and Recs removing benches at the request of private merchants to get rid of, quote, undesirable youth. We wouldn't have abusive drug busts downtown, where by drug busts I mean marijuana sales in a city that criminalizes medical marijuana, though it ironically pretends to oppose that criminalization by sponsoring national public relations exercises such as they did with the corrals in September, when 13 people, count them, 13, get served medical marijuana, but other medical marijuana providers who want to provide marijuana are told to stay away, and the city's laws made by Rotkin, Matthews, and Fitzmaurice, actually strike the Rotkin, he wasn't here when this happened, it was Matthews and Fitzmaurice in the last city council, criminalize the cannabis clubs that served 1,000 to 3,000 people in the last 8 years. It was better before the city council took its action essentially to zone out the cannabis clubs. The only one left is Wham, which can only serve about 250 people, and has actually betrayed the medical marijuana community by simply representing a small number of people and refusing to argue more broadly for the need for a broader and a more meaningful access to medical marijuana. And that can be done a number of ways. San Francisco has done it by passing a resolution that encourages grow areas. It could be made, police and at the county level, deputies, thank you, Mark Tracy, could be barred from cooperating with the kidnappers, thieves, and trespassers who masquerade as federal agents. But none of this is happening. Instead, you simply have the show gestures and the ongoing money-making for the police war against, quote, drugs. And this, again, happens because you out there, and sure, me too, don't do enough to stop it. We don't stand up enough. We try to, you know, work our own little rackets, our own little deals, our own little jobs, our own little lives. We do that, and we don't stand together. And, you know, I can understand why we do that. We have to survive, and we do survive, and we need to survive. But the irony of it is, of course, is that we would survive much better if we stood together on this stuff. And that's what I was doing yesterday downtown in my own way, setting up a table, giving out flyers, opposing both the war in Iraq and encouraging this public meeting that I, again, suggest is a good idea, and that people out there, you people out there, can actually do something about if you give a call to local politicians. Of course, what we really need to do is organize this meeting ourselves, but until such time as someone steps forward to do that, putting pressure on politicians is one way to kind of prepare the ground for such a thing. And the numbers to call, if you get a pen, I'll be giving them out in a minute again, for local phone numbers. Again, we're talking about demanding an emergency public town hall meeting on Iraq and figuring out what this city, county, and congressional district can do to stop the war in Iraq, whether this means demanding Farr go over in a peace delegation, Representative Farr go to Iraq as in a peace mission, whether this means sending out delegations to other communities and encouraging other kinds of protests, whether this means, I don't know, public burnings in effigy of the national warmongers who have gotten us into this, I don't know. But I know that we need to do something, and we need to do it before the bombs start to fall. It's very nice to have everybody assemble at the town clock after the murders begin to happen. But that really isn't terribly helpful in preventing those murders. So, phone numbers to call. Representative Farr, 429-1976. You can do this on Sunday. These are numbers that are voicemails. And just demand a public meeting immediately within the next 2 weeks of everyone in the Civic Auditorium. Mayor Emily Riley's phone number, as I mentioned before, 420-5022. Board of Supervisors, and the problem here is they don't have a message phone. Apparently their budget is too limited. They can pay nearly $200,000 a year to Susan Mariello as the CAO, but they cannot put in an answering machine to take our messages. So you have to call them from 9 to 5. But their number is 454-2200. 454-2200. That at least was my experience when I called them a couple months ago. Maybe they've changed. It would be nice if they had, but I'm not holding my breath. And if you happen to be in Capitola listening to this broadcast and you want to call the mayor and the city council of Capitola, that number is 475-7300. Again, 475-7300. I'm going to repeat those numbers in a moment. I would encourage you also to call two friends, pass on those numbers, and ask them to do the same. It's not much to do if you have a phone with unlimited calling. It takes about 5 minutes. Might have no effect, but if enough people do it, it'll have significant effect. Again, phone numbers. Representative Farr, 429-1976. Mayor Emily Riley, 420-5022. Board of Supervisors, 454-2200. And Capitola City Council, 475-7300. The number for calling in this show, if you want to discuss any of these issues, or you have your own to raise around civil rights locally, or the war, is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM here, Free Radio. And I'd love to hear from you. We're going to be going through numerous kind of tapes today, interviews from the street, looking forward to the street performer situation. I'm going to be getting back to that in a moment. And playing the usual music and merriment. I don't have any in-studio guests at the moment, though it's possible some may be coming in. If I can rouse them on Sunday morning, it's always a little hard to rouse the guests, but it's good. And we have some good guests coming up. I talked to a man who is getting an incredible harassment effort from the actions from the city manager. That's our well-paid, silk-suited city manager, Dick Wilson. And the city government. He's been attempting to research the green belts because he was looking for athletic fields and trying to find out what happened to the provisions recommended way back in the early 90s for athletic fields and the green belts. And because the city staff didn't like his requiring documentation from them, they got Dick Wilson to tell him he couldn't come to the city offices anymore. And when he did to complain about this, he was arrested and thrown into jail for, I think it was a month. And they also are scheduling an injunction against him. I'm particularly sensitive to injunctions because I was the victim of one injunction and then it was a second targeted injunction against me. That's a civil judicial order that bars you from being within a certain distance of a person or a place or bars you from some other kind of activity. When I, Becky Johnson, and Bernard Klitzner, and about 20 other homeless activists in the winter of 2000-2001 tried to get then-Mayor Fitzmaurice, our Green Party champion who can't remember what the Green Party platform says, or who studiously ignores it when it talks about not criminalizing homeless people, we tried to get him to deal with the shelter crisis during the winter, same shelter crisis I talked about earlier, and the $54 sleeping ban tickets that such people face. We were peaceful, we were well-behaved, we were not in any way disturbing the peace, we were outspoken, certainly. We sat in the offices of the Santa Cruz City Council during its business hours. We weren't trespassing, we were there on public business, we were there trying to see council members and talk to them, and we were able to talk to a few, finally, but never really got to talk to the mayor, then-Mayor Fitzmaurice, on that issue. We talked to him earlier, but not on that issue specifically as we requested. And so we stayed, and we brought homeless people there to do the same thing, and we served coffee and pastries outside. And what they did to eliminate us was they got a stalking horse. They got a phony complaint from a woman named Anna Brooks, who is a secretary of the city council staff, a rather highly strung and, I thought, paranoid secretary, frankly. That was my impression, who accused us of harassing her by demanding copies, by tape recording in the offices, by videoing, and so forth. And we did begin tape recording after Fitzmaurice started threatening us with eviction from the office. We said to him, look, we have a right to be here. We're waiting for city council members. If somebody else wants to sit down, we stand up, and they can sit down. But this is a public office. You are a public official. Don't threaten us with your power the way certain national politicians seem to be doing with great abandon. And in order to make sure that we didn't get bushwhacked, we started tape recording every single thing that he or any other staff member said to us because we anticipated he was going to come after us with some kind of bogus and illegal judicial action. The city has apparently pours hundreds of thousands of dollars into attorney Barisoni to do this kind of stuff. And they did. They took us to court. They had us barred from City Hall essentially for 6 months. We were allowed to go to council meetings finally. We got that changed. And we were allowed to go on official business to other offices. But we were barred from that office. And I don't know. It's the $20,000 gift for Anna Brooks. Instead of giving her some psychotherapy, they are giving her, eliminating the rights of the public around these issues. And, of course, ignoring the needs of homeless people and ignoring the criminalization that goes on with homeless people, which, of course, was really the point. They didn't want to address that issue. Had they been willing to seriously address that issue, we would have left. We'd have no purpose in being there. Our purpose was to draw their attention to that issue, which they had run on. Fitzmaurice, particularly, as a Green Party person, had misled his Green Party constituents and continues to betray the Green Party commitments. And has always, he's refused to appear on this show, incidentally. He has an opportunity at any time. Tim, if you're listening, feel free to call in or to come in. I can schedule a time with you as a guest. You're welcome to come in. In fact, I would invite my producer to give Fitzmaurice a call and invite him to come on the air and defend himself on this matter. He won't. He can't. He exists within the protected environs of the university where he's a professor and the city council. He cannot survive in an open debate. And you say, well, if he can't survive, why was he reelected? And, you know, you have me there, I guess because the debate didn't focus on the issues I think that people really need to be concerned about, ranging from rent control to city council's responsiveness to public process to basic civil rights for all of us, including poor people. The debate never went there. Instead, you know, he was the best-funded candidate, one of the three best-funded candidates. We have a call here. Let's see if I can grab that call before it disappears. Looks like it has disappeared. Caller, I didn't notice you. Call back. Let's try again. I'll keep my eye on the board a little more closely here. My apologies. We're going to be talking about street performing. We have been talking about that. There's a proposal at City Council to criminalize street performers more than they're criminalized now. And street performers are getting together to talk to the stakeholders downtown, which means that's not just Emily Riley speak. That could be real language. People who have an interest in, well, you know, I'm trying to dress up the issue, but the fact of the matter is street performers haven't been a problem downtown, so why are we even having to get into this? Because City Council wanted to please the merchants and further criminalize homeless people. And in order to criminalize homeless people, they got to criminalize everybody, and that includes the street performers, which produces some eeks and shrieks and oh no, don't do that. And so now we're having essentially what to some extent is a large charade to try to exempt the street performers in some way from this so that they are not criminalized, even while this criminalization of homeless people who are barred from 95% of the sidewalks if they sit down or peacefully spare change, even silently with a sign while seated anywhere downtown or on any sidewalk in Santa Cruz. That is your city at the moment. Give a call to 427-3772 if you want to comment on any of this. And again, I apologize for not catching that last caller. I either have to turn off the phone or I've got to keep my eye on the blinker. And sometimes my blinkers are on the blink. So get back to me. And while we're waiting for hopefully that call, let's hear a little music from one of my favorite musicians.
I get so tired.
Don't smash your head there, Skidmark. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio 96.3 still, unless you've entered another universe. But enter our universe. Give a call to 427-3772, and we can chat. Actually, it was a couple weeks ago, I played a lot of Tom Noddy's interchange with Councilmember Scott Kennedy on the John Sandage Show, which I recorded off the air from the KUSP archives. And it was really a very good discussion. It bears repeating again, and we weren't really able to finish it. And that's going to be coming up later in the show. I'm going to be playing that again. I'm going to be playing about half of it. I'm tempted to play the whole thing because we are really coming into street performer time, and maybe I will do that. But I've recovered a tape that had disappeared. I have a constant problem with my disappearing tapes, disappearing frontal lobes, I think the problem is. And here's a bunch of interviews from the Vets Hall at Christmas. At Christmas, as you may know, there's a free meal at the Vets Hall. A lot more people to Vets Hall at Christmas than there were at Thanksgiving, since apparently Thanksgiving became a popular time to feed folks. Apparently 2 days a year, homeless people get good meals, and that's very nice. Provides for also effective dieting, I guess, during the rest of the year. Anyway, let's hear a little of this, and then I'll hopefully be picking up some of your phone calls. If you want to leave a message but you don't want to go on the air, you can give a call to the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That's the group I work with, at 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, 423-4833. And you can also schedule an appointment here at the show if you want to kind of come on the air and talk about something. We can do that. Or you can come to a Huff meeting. Huff is meeting every Wednesday these days, 8:30 a.m., Baker Square Restaurant on Ocean Street, 1107 Ocean to be exact. That's all that information you can get by calling the Huff line at 423-HUFF. And again, the number to call here is 427-3772. We'll be listening to tapes for a bit here, but I'll be back within the next 10 or 15 minutes. You can reach me at the studio during that time off air. And you can also call in. We may even stop the tape if you've got something that you want to say on the air live. Now let's hear what people who were at the Vets meal had to say.
So we're here at the Vets Hall Christmas Day Hoodah Doodah, and someone is drawing peace. Same to you, Chris. What's that? Yes, I'm a very interesting fellow, actually. I can't help that. Somebody else made it this summer. It's Reclaim the Streets, Downtown for All. I mean, hey, that's an American tradition, or should be, anyway. Someone is drawing peace and love on the sidewalk.
This is
shocking,
criminal.
Don't you think? Criminal?
Where's the police? I saw them just a while ago.
Well, eventually they'll come by and haul away the loiterers. I think people are loitering here, too. A long loitering line, actually much longer than Thanksgiving.
It
extends back beyond halfway to the, well, halfway past, well, I guess to the old, not quite to the St. George, but it's down there. It's a, I don't know, half a block long. You were saying, Skidmark?
I said I thought the ordinance only specified Robert Norris and Becky Johnson from chalking.
They try to give us credit where credit is due, or do-do, as the case may be. But, in fact, they have arrested other people. Nathaniel Kennedy was arrested for chalking. I think he was arrested a number of times and cited a number of times, and he's just actually come back on the streets, coming out from a halfway house, where he's able to, I think he was able to get the tickets dismissed.
Well, yeah. You've been harassed out here?
For chalking?
For being out here with your table.
No, I've never been harassed for tabling here at this event. But I have been harassed elsewhere, it's true. I mean, incidentally, this would be the site of a number of benches if the original Downtown Recovery Plan had put in all the benches it were supposed to. I checked
really?
The benches.
Right here in front of that?
Same to you. Thank you.
Right here? Like, right here?
There were supposed to be four benches right along here, I believe.
Personally, for shows, because I work here, it probably would not be the best.
All right.
Just to give more room for people to
Let me interview this criminal chalker.
Okay.
So you've just done some chalking. You can do some more chalking. What's your name?
Minnie.
And Minnie, what have you written on the sidewalk?
Peace and love are the answer.
Peace and love are the answer. What about more laws arresting people who sleep at night? Is that the answer?
Oh, that is totally insane. I'm the biggest illegal lodger in San Diego County, but I think the police are way out of line arresting us for camping.
Right. I have to agree with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
My new wardrobe for you,
Robert.
You're
going to buy me a new bathrobe? This is a very generous offer.
Donated at the center here.
This is my rich uncle. I'd like you to meet Uncle Mike.
I see you wear the same shit every year.
Well, I try to wash it at least once a year, you know.
The teddy bear looks cleaner than you do.
A teddy bear? She's a very clean teddy bear. Edwina, she's on top.
Did he get his shots today?
She, if you don't mind. Show some respect, will you?
Well,
for heaven's sake.
Brown and white, not pink and white.
It's true.
And you don't have a bow on it.
No.
It kind of looks like your partner, Becky.
Well, I won't comment on that.
Very
Thank
good.
You. Anybody have anything to say for free radio?
Yes, I'd like to say hi to all my fans out there. I'm glad you're my fan.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Desperate Steve Elliott.
Desperate Steve. And you're the man, one of the few men remaining who has actually got a sign on the sidewalk.
Yeah, me. That's me.
You're in front of O'Neill's surf shop on occasion?
Yeah, once in a while.
Trying to awaken the conscience, or at least the pocketbooks, of the Santa Cruz community?
Yeah, just counting the wicked in the town, that's all.
And what's your count at so far?
About 1/10 of the town's carry. Like this man right here, he's helped me. And most of the town just walked by.
He's very questionable.
He could die in the streets and they wouldn't care.
Yeah. The guy, he's dressed in green, very questionable. Christmas green. What is this? Some sort
of
attempt?
Hell in a handbasket, you know? Hell in a handbasket.
I hear you.
When it gets down to this little dinky town, you see how it really is. Hell in a handbasket, believe me, hell in a handbasket. And that handbasket isn't free.
Well, thank you, sir. Any comments? No. Any comments for free radio, folks? Comments for free radio today?
I am a soldier.
We are the world, we are the children, and this is a soldier.
The vicious animal, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine on Christmas Day.
You look all right.
I'm very happy.
Good.
Yes. I got the prettiest woman in the world next to me.
That can always be helpful. Anything you want to say for free radio?
Hello.
And what is your name?
Well, you can call me anything.
All right, anything. How's life treating you?
Good enough.
Yay, the Park
Thank
Gardens
you.
Of Merrill. Thank you.
Say again?
Yay, the Park Gardens of Merrill.
Clarify?
Oh, it's a rock garden for the healing of the earth.
Excellent.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, then. Anything for free radio you'd like to say?
It's just getting too dangerous to say anything real or honest these days, so I'm afraid I'm going to have to pass on that.
No problem.
Thanks.
Good luck to you. Here's that criminal musician. I see you have your guitar with you. Sir, haven't you learned yet that we don't allow musicians downtown in Santa Cruz?
Well, you know, they hope, you know, they will be, you know, get ourselves out of the street. Or, you know, to keep us, you know, playing it till somebody be kicked me out.
Any hassles for playing music downtown?
Not we yet. You know, actually people like it.
Are you getting any financial support for playing music downtown?
This Christmas times, the people are pretty generous, you know, so it's kind of nice.
And are you sleeping outside or sleeping inside?
I'm at the shelter.
She's mine.
Sure.
Well, all right.
No, thanks.
What's your name?
My name is Hiroshi.
As you told me several times, Hiroshi, my apologies for not picking up on it. It's my racist, I can only remember Anglo-Saxon name problem, but I'm going to work on it, Hiroshi.
Okay, thank you.
Any hassles for, do you sleep outside?
I'm at the shelter, at the armory.
And how is the armory?
You know, it's okay in the armory inside, but making line to go in and making line to go out in the morning is kind of, you know.
Pain in the ass?
Yeah, kind of feels like a... Kind of very strange about, like, kind of like a prison.
Do they require ID to come to the armory?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And is the armory full, or?
Armory almost full, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments about the armory you want to make?
They sometimes show the good movies.
Hey, the theater up at the armory, folks. Check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Say for free radio, sir.
Sure, man, we need a peace against these police who like to harass us, man.
You been harassed lately?
Yes. I was harassed 3 days ago.
And what happened?
They followed me from one spot to another. They told me to move.
Where were you?
I was down on Pacific Avenue, like next to the hot chocolate stand.
What were you doing that was so criminal?
I was sitting on my butt with my bag in between my legs, looking, watching people.
What time of day was this?
Yeah, about 5 o'clock at night.
And how many police officers were involved in this move-along?
Three.
And what kind of conversation did they have with you?
They wanted to see my ID. When I told them I didn't have any, they were like, well, you're supposed to have it. And they ran my name for warrants and said, you got to move. So I moved like three blocks down and like a street over. And they came back and messed with me again.
The same three?
Yeah.
And how long after was that?
About, it's like they followed me there.
And what did they say this time?
They're like, you're not supposed to be sitting down here, period. We catch you sitting down here again, we're going to give you a trespassing for the business.
Did they tell you, they use that phrase, trespassing in front of businesses or not?
Yeah.
They did. Do you know the name of the officers, any of them? Were they men, women?
They were all men. I don't remember their
white,
name.
White, black, Hispanic?
Mix.
Okay.
So,
what's your name?
I'm Jimmy.
Jimmy, thank you very much, and we'll play this on Free Radio. Any comments for Free Radio?
Greetings from Germany, via Los Angeles.
And what's happening in Germany? What's your name, sir?
John.
And John, when was the last time you were over in the fatherland?
Oh, 11 years ago. 11
oh.
Years.
So you've been here for a while?
I'm a citizen, yes.
And what, Santa Cruz citizen, or have you been here for a while?
I've been here 4 days from Los Angeles. I like the town. Everyone keep their cool. It could always be worse.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Any comments for Free Radio, folks?
Well, we've been hassled a lot the last few days.
What happened?
We're sleeping in the van.
And where were you sleeping?
Church parking lot up on, you know, behind the burned church up there off SoCal.
Do you have the permission of the church?
Well, no, not actually that night. We just pulled in there. We were only there 15 minutes, and they came knocking on the door and asked us to leave.
Was there a complaint?
And they said, yeah, that's what they said. They said they'd received a complaint, but we'd only been there 15 minutes.
And what's your name?
Debbie.
And you were with this man behind you?
Yeah, Bob.
And where'd you folks come from?
We're here from Santa Cruz. We've been here 20 years.
And
I have, anyway.
So you got hassled, and again, this was three nights ago. About what time?
Oh, it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
And so what did you do after? How many police officers were there that hassled?
Well, there was two of them, and they just, you know, went through the rigmarole of carding us and asking us if they could switch the vehicle and, you know, just hassles, you know? Just settling in for the night in a place where you think you're safe, a church parking lot, for God's sakes, you know, and then...
Why did they tell you? What did they say to you?
They said, move on.
Did they tell you where to go?
No.
And you were also hassled?
Oh, yeah, I was in my vehicle, and it came up, and I figured it was a liable parking lot, you know, for that's for disabled people, and I have a disability, and I'm, you know, I get disability every month, and it pays for, well, you know, so much. It's such a little amount of money, and parking lot should be open 24 hours.
What about? I hear you. Someone at
24-hour parking and disabled parking lot.
Someone has proposed that there be a massive sleep-in, either by a tent city or a park-in at City Hall, until such time as they do open up a campground and a parking lot for people to sleep in. What do you think of that idea?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is Hot Rod John Report. I agree totally with that. Continue on, because we need more communicate networking amongst every education and discipline where there's sanitation and security. I'm not here fucking around.
I'm a citizen.
You're
here.
The free democracy now. And all this Republican non-conformist, they're called, they
show me his ID.
Compassionate conservatives? Bullshit. Yeah, I got drafted in 69. Into the lousy Marines. We were murdered.
for this lousy country that they've created, and we got a lot of civil rights that we should be marching, not to war. For don't get me started. I'll continue on forever.
John, you're
here. Lock and load and rock and roll. Now, liberty, justice for everybody.
How about a democracy, yes, plutocracy, no.
All right. Now, what about the idea of locally in Santa Cruz doing some protests that might involve peacefully
get us
resisting?
On camera.
Yeah.
Get the network, Channel 8 down here.
Anybody
don't be wasting
Gladiator?
Our time.
Anybody think Gladiator? We stick together, we survive.
Yeah.
Don't stick together, it doesn't do very
yeah.
good.
You're here.
Woo.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, there is a Huff meeting every
yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Comments for Free Radio.
What's the question?
Any comments for Free Radio about what's been happening outside for homeless people or for folks in the cold?
All I got to say is Bush ought to be strung up for getting us in all these wars.
Thank you. What's your name?
Paul.
Thanks, Paul. Any comments for Free Radio?
Ike.
Say that again.
Ike.
Ike?
Ike.
That's you?
It's Hawaii, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah.
Any hassles with police or problems?
They could be kinder. Human rights, you know, we're all humans. Treat people as one would want to be treated themselves.
Yes.
Thank you.
Some kind of support.
Any comments for Free Radio?
Huh?
Any comments for Free Radio? No.
What are you looking for? Anything?
Well, there's been suggestions that people do sleep outs in order to get... decriminalize sleeping, stop police harassment where it's occurring, maybe set up some facilities for the hundreds, if not thousands, of homeless people that are outside and have to face a $54 ticket each night.
Yeah, that would be an excellent idea. I've been here a month, and I've gotten kicked out of two camping sites. One of them was in the Poganip. I leave no litter. I pack up my camp when I wake up in the morning, and I was kicked out of that camp, and then I moved up the train tracks. They claimed it was in the Poganip, but it's actually not. And I was kicked out of that camp, too. I was told that I would be arrested if I was caught again.
Now, are these police, Parks and Rec rangers, deputies?
It was a police officer and a ranger and a social worker.
Did the social worker tell you where to go?
They said to go to the armory, but with the armory, you have to be in by 4 o'clock, wait in long lines, be told when to go to sleep, when to wake up in the morning, and it's just not worth it.
You also need a picture ID.
Yeah, absolutely.
A picture ID?
I do. So
not something you want.
Yeah, I prefer to camp out.
Have you heard of anybody who's gotten tickets or hassled like yourself?
Yeah, just about everybody out here.
And did they say they were coming on complaint, or did they say they were coming just as part of their sweep, or what was it?
They were just patrolling. They sweep through there on a regular basis.
How about the downtown ordinances? How do you feel about the new laws that make it illegal to sit down 14 feet from a building, peacefully ask for spare change, even silently, with a sign? That's a $162 fine now.
That's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they don't own this. This is public domain, and anybody has a right to be here.
Your name is?
My name is Cian Farley.
Hey. Thank you, Cian.
Yeah, hey, no problem.
Hey.
Any comments for Free Radio?
I'm fine, brother. Thank
all right.
You.
Comments for Free Radio? What about you, you criminal rosy type?
I don't feel good, Robert.
Any positive comments about how police have been treating you?
I think they've been okay. They're better than they were a year ago. Or maybe it's just me.
Well, you had some positive comments about a particular sergeant.
Right. Sergeant Baker was very kind to me recently when I was selling roses without a business license.
Selling or asking for donations?
Asking for donations.
So you weren't
and
always selling?
Right. I was asking. My sign says adopt a rose. So,
would you like to advertise where people can get those adopted roses? No. You have to find her out. But if you ask people on the streets, they will direct you to
the rose lady. They call
she's very rosy. She's got rosy cheeks.
I don't know.
Thank you. Hi, Free Radio. Any comments?
Yes, I just like to bless America. Good country, best country in the world, and God bless everybody from this Christmas Day, 2002.
And your name is
Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
God bless you.
Any comments for Free Radio? Comments for Free Radio?
I'm just glad I live in a town where they don't take you to jail, whether you like it or not, like they do in New York, the homeless, you know.
Dig it. Unless, of course, you happen to be sitting in the wrong place on the sidewalk.
Right. Well, no, they absolutely just take them to jail, you know, in New York, if it's for their own good.
Well, they're the wrong color in New York. You got to keep that in mind. You can't trust those people of darker
hue. It's too cold. You know, compassion's a cup of coffee and an extra blanket. It's not traumatizing people in the middle of the night, you know.
Here.
We've been talking with
Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Any comments for Free Radio about how people are treated in town?
I just want to say that the thing between the rich and the poor is that everybody likes to be high. You know, everybody likes to feel good. And when everybody comes to the realization that that's understood, we're all going to realize that we're family and ain't nothing real but the eyes.
Your name is?
Horizon.
And Horizon, any hassles from police?
No, not so much that I can see, because I feel that they're people too, you know, and I just look at them and they look at me, and there's nothing to be said other than we're family.
Excellent. Thank you, Horizon.
Thank you.
Any comments? I see you have a criminal guitar with you. You've been troubled for playing your guitar?
Yeah, I have the right to remain silent.
No, not here, you don't. Officer, arrest this man. You want to do any playing for us?
Oh, no, man, I'm good. I'm thankful that there are people here and they're ready to eat, you know what I mean? And there's generous people here, like, giving food, you know, to the people that are ready to eat, you know what I mean? And actually consideration... Enough for me, you know what I mean, or like, the consideration, fuck, yes, yeah, I got a dirty mouth.
You're doing fine. What's your name?
I'm Wes.
Thanks, Wes. Any comments for Free Radio? Comments for Free Radio?
Mm-hmm.
Any comments for Free Radio?
Comment?
Comments.
Comment?
Comments.
I don't give a fuck.
There we go. Thank you, sir. All right, any comments?
Happy birthday.
Well, this is great. Well, that's true. It is birthday.
Hey, you fuck up more for the homeless than you do for the homeless.
Would you like to say who you are?
You are?
You'd like to say who you are for Free Radio.
No, I know who you are.
Right, but do we know who you are?
You don't need to know.
Okay, so you're anonymous. He's anonymous. Any comments for
you
Free Radio?
You fuck up everything for the homeless.
Not right now. Right,
anything particular you want to say about what I fucked up?
You fuck up everything for the homeless.
Like
your
what?
Mouth fucking
like
fucked
what?
It up
like
for
what?
The homeless.
Like what?
Every fucking day.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay.
You see that
right?
Right.
Anything for radio? Okay. Thank you. Any comments for Free Radio? No? All right. Any comments for Free Radio? Okay. Any hassles with police, problems? Anything you want to say for Free Radio?
Free Radio?
Damn right.
We need more freedom.
What's your name? Are you outside or inside?
I'm outside.
And how is that outside? Are you been hassled by police or?
No. They haven't even talked to me.
Well, that's good. And
I've been hassled in a different way.
By people generally, by men, by yeah. So what's the answer to that? Any suggestions for women in your situation?
Do they have a home to go to? I don't know.
How long you been outside?
Since I was 3.
Wow. In Santa Cruz or elsewhere?
Oh, no, elsewhere.
And how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Oh, 18 days.
Welcome to town.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Any comments for Free Radio?
Merry Christmas.
Hasta también.
Yeah, the other day I found keys from a car in the house, and I tried to look for a police, no, to give to him. And he tried to search, look in my pockets. I was trying to, I found a key right there by the phone to get to the cops. So they take care of me. And he tried to see in my pockets and why? I just leave it right there at the bench and I leave. But
what, with this key, does it have 3 keys on it by any chance?
No, it was like 8. Not too many.
I lost my keys. I'm looking for them. So what's your name?
David.
David, where are you from?
Mexico.
Muy bien.
Huh?
Muy bien. Muy bueno.
Muy bueno.
Muy bueno. Is it hard to find work here, or is work fairly easy?
I got a work in Scott's Valley. Thanks God. Merry Christmas, everybody.
And your name is?
No, English.
¿Cómo se llama usted?
Benjamin.
¿Está bien aquí? ¿Está?
Muy bien, aquí muy bien.
¿Se puede trabajar?
Sí, estoy trabajando un poquito, no mucho.
¿Problemas con la policía o no?
No, no hay problema.
¿Se puede dormir en la noche en la calle o en otras?
Sí.
Sí. Muy bien, en la calle. Muy bien, gracias, señor.
Okay.
¿Hay otras cosas que ustedes quieren decir?
Ya completó todo. Ya dijo todo.
He said it all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, this is a hot And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the Christmas Day Veterans Hall Food Line. Getting a lot of different opinions from different folks. I'm Bathrop's peer, Robert Norris. And this is your opportunity to call in at Free Radio Santa Cruz's call-in line, 427-3772. We're going to do a brief musical break with our city council's anthem. And then we will return to hear a repeat of the Kennedy Noddy interview from this summer exchange, I should say. But first, we have this caller. Hey, Ron. Hello. Hang with us, caller. Give us a try again. You're a bit fast for me, or maybe I'm just a bit too slow. You know, you get older, you get slower. So again, while we're waiting for a call, here's the what I like to regard fondly as our city council's unofficial anthem.
Germany was having trouble, what a sad, sad story. Needed a new leader to restore its former glory. Where, oh, where was he? Where could that man be? We looked around, and then we found the man for you and me. Deutschland is happy and again. We're marching to a faster pace. Look out, here comes the master race. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Rhineland's a fine land once more. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Watch out, Europe, we're going on tour. Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
It's springtime!
Winter. Germans, go into your dance.
I was born in Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf.
Don't be stupid, be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party.
We'll be right back.
me welcome Scott Kennedy. Hi,
Thank
Scott.
You very much.
And Tom Noddy.
Hi, John.
And a rare visit to Santa Cruz. Tom is Tom's an entertainer that spends a lot of time in Europe doing bubble magic, and we're really pleased to have him here. And we're going to give both folks a starting time here to a few moments to talk about why they're here. And let's start off with you, Tom.
Okay. We're here to talk about street performing. Recently, the city council passed some amendments, a series of amendments to some downtown ordinances, and to my thinking, unfortunately, they included amendments that would severely affect street performing in Santa Cruz. And you know, for a long time, we've kept street performing kind of off of the law books for a very long time, starting in 1980. And only addressed it with voluntary guidelines, to deal with it as neighbors deal with each other, between the merchants, the performers, the residents, the hosts downtown. People found ways to accommodate each other without involving the laws. You know, street performing, it's an art, you know, and when the finest street performers come into town, it's there's an art to this, how to set up, how to get attention, how to play a crowd, how to pass the hat. It's a real subtle dance that's going on, and I think when the city council this time kind of stepped in on the dance, and they did it with their work boots on, you know. Now they're trying to pass it to the downtown commission, and they're doing this. They this morning asked not to be party to this for the time being, and not to.
You mean party to this show?
No.
Oh.
Well, if this show is a party, they'd come. But no, they wanted. They were being asked to look for exemptions to the ordinance amendments that were recently passed by the city council, so that street performers would not be quite as severely affected as they've been by these by what the city council did. But the downtown commission this morning asked not to do that, not to join in this particular dance. But they're going to ask the city council to give everybody a little time to cool down, back off. Don't enforce it for 60 days. Let's take more information, get some more data before we move on this. You know, when the Flying Karamazov brothers were in town, when Thoth comes to town, when Julio Morgani right now is downtown, when there used to be a Japanese taffy guy, he would build taffy and do this Tai Chi life. This beautiful, so artist the spoon man, beautiful, subtle stuff was going on.
The guy with the bottles or the
And playing the wine glasses.
And the bubble guy.
The bubble guy was all right.
Yeah.
And these kinds of things, it's not easy. It's easy to make it stop. And if we're not careful, and I think we've been very not careful recently with this, we can't keep it going without being careful to keep it going. And right now we were much less than careful. When I say we, I mean the city council.
All right, and speaking of the city council, Sky Kennedy.
I just want to start with the observation that we never have these problems except when Tom's in town. I think this has to be, as we pointed out, well, I have the disadvantage or the advantage of having been on the council in 1993 and 94 when a previous round of this discussion happened. And I just want to say that from the outset, what you have is a rather complex set of social interactions that go along in our main commercial business district. And when the city council steps into something like that, invariably it's going to be kind of ham-fisted and crudely done. And I wasn't enthusiastic about us even initiating this discussion, frankly, because I'd been through it in 93, 94. But what happens is it's kind of like a ebb and flow, or I see it as kind of the pendulum swinging where the hue and cry gets to a certain level where the council feels politically and in terms of its responsibilities as stewards of the local city governance that we have to do something, and that's always a very bad moment because what a city does, what the kind of nuanced, multi-leveled experience that Tom just described, it doesn't lend itself to the kind of legislation that the council is likely to have the authority to do. And, you know, we're talking about certain behaviors that have made downtown very unfriendly for some people, not everybody, but for some, and the council is trying to find some way to address that dynamic. I think the problem is the perception or the argument by some that the council is just serving a very narrow set of business interests. I think when the argument starts on that basis, it's very hard to find any kind of common ground, because I think there are very serious problems council members are responding to a wide variety of people, including people with families and seniors and others. And it's just kind of a situation where when, you know, people say, I never have a problem on the mall, the council doesn't have the luxury of that observation. I personally very seldom have any problems.
Yeah.
But I hear enough from enough people that I think that it's a problem.
Well, one person's problem isn't necessarily the next person's problem either.
Exactly. And you add to that this kind of media frenzy that the Sentinel just loves. And it makes it very difficult. You know, we get reports now from the Bakersfield, California, and we get phone calls from the New York Times. I personally, for years, have not answered phone messages from out-of-town media because I thought, do they have anything about the interests of Santa Cruz at heart? No, not that I can tell. So, you know, it's a terrible period right now for this discussion to happen, and I think, though we're on odds on this thing, that Tom's contribution has been enormously positive.
Well, let's put out the phone number here, and if you'd like to join in with questions or comments, 476-2800, 476-2800, or 1-800-655-5877. And Tom, back, is it 20 years? 22 years. You started this with there was this problem then, and you were interfaced as a street performer with the city of Santa Cruz or the county, whoever you were dealing with, and came up with these guidelines. What happened?
Well, the guidelines have been, in effect, the voluntary guidelines for street performers is the way that the city decided back in 1980 to deal with street performer questions. There were, as you say, there was a proposal, actually. Police Chief Peeney at that time put forward a proposal to ban street performing in Santa Cruz. The community rose up in response, I mean, almost literally, including the Sentinel, the Independent newspaper, the San Jose Mercury, the Downtown Neighbors Association, the Downtown Association, all joined with the street performers in calling, first of all, for an end to the talk of banning street performing. And then there were negotiations back and forth. The street performers got together and proposed voluntary guidelines for performers. We then negotiated those with the Downtown Association members, and they wanted, okay, you know, so they can perform, but we need them to make sure they space each other out. And we went back and forth, and performers, you know, naturally always agree to space out. we came up with this series of guidelines, which were approved by all of those bodies, and it was a unique solution to this problem, because street performing is First Amendment protected. The courts have consistently agreed to that, including some very recent rulings. And you can regulate First Amendment protected activity with what the courts call reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. And so I suggested to the merchants, I mean, if you want to do that, and we go into court and we fight about it, in the end, what you're going to get is some designated areas, right? That's what you could get. And if you win, the merchants I was talking to, if you win, you'll get some designated, I don't know where they're going to put them, I don't know how many there'll be, but maybe one of them is going to be, who knows, in front of your shop. It's a designated area where everybody will crowd in rather than spreading themselves along the whole downtown streets, working things out in a more natural way. They're all going to crowd in front of your shop. And I've seen it in towns where it happens. They line up this little social scene that goes on while people wait for their turn to go on. And it's going to happen all day in front of, I don't know, maybe your shop. As a result, the merchants agreed with us. Wait a second, well, let's talk about the voluntary guidelines instead of fighting in court first and ending up with something that the merchants don't want, the performers don't want. Nobody is going to want the results of that kind of thing where we crowd everybody into some few zones. And so the guidelines passed through a very conservative city council in 1980 and came back to city councils, I'd say six different times the issue was brought up, hasn't been voted on by the city council since, because it was resolved as neighborly agreements. But the issue was brought to various city councils, various downtown associations, various merchant groups. People lose track of it, you know, because there were not so many problems, everybody forgets how it was, and they think it's a new thing, and it kind of remind them why they chose the voluntary approach rather than changing the laws. It's such a blunt instrument for dealing with this. You're not going to get what you want. You're going to get something much less than what you want. And so everybody always re-ups the guidelines. When the issue, last year, it was an effort to shut down Sadzda, the marimba band that was playing on the street. A series of meetings, I was there, a couple of city council people were there, the police chief was there, Patty Saponi from the police, Butch Baker. We had a series of meetings, and everybody agreed to the voluntary guidelines 1 year ago. And We just got to get the hosts to, like, put those guidelines out. Hand them to performers when they walk into town. The hosts have become the instrument for getting that word out to the merchants as well. The merchants believe that they have some say about what happens in front of their shop. The court won't permit that. The guidelines do, because as neighbors, we can give them that. You can come in and talk to the guy, ask him to leave after an hour. You can have a conversation. Or if you won't want to do it, have the host come over and do it for you. We can give you that, but the courts can't. The courts can't give merchant approval to First Amendment-protected activity. So the merchants end up agreeing to this idea. It gives them more say on what happens. Last year, it was agreed, okay, let's get the host to distribute it, but the hosts, for some reason, for the last couple
of years, let's explain, because not everybody might know what the hosts are.
Yeah.
The hosts... Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, initially the idea, when I was on the Mall Advisory Committee, we proposed ombudspersons who would be downtown and kind of get to know who all was there. As it's come out, they're sort of employees of the Downtown Association. But they for many years, they hung out downtown, they knew that this guy is trouble, this guy looks crazy, but he's okay. And they were kind of the conduit between the street scene and the merchants. It was really good to have them around. They handed the guidelines out, they talked to people, in more recent years, I'm afraid they've become employees of the Downtown Association, and they believe that there's a battle going on between the merchants and the people on the street, and they know which side they're on. And so they use the guidelines only as an enforcement tool for moving performers along. And now we need an ombudsperson between people on the street and the hosts. The hosts, they're less than police, although they've recently gotten some sort of police authority from the city council. But there were sort of the people in between.
So, Scott, how do you see this problem being solved now? What can we do to make the downtown a good place for street performers?
Well,
because
I think
as people come here, that's sort of almost what they're expecting. That was one of the things that drew me here. Most of those performers are gone now. The Rainbow Lady and the Jugglers, the Flying Camarazzo Brothers, Tom and I, most of those folks are gone. There's a whole new crew, and they're wonderful. I mean, it really brings some color and flavor to our town that isn't in most towns. How can we preserve it and still keep everybody happy?
Well, I think if we focus on the common ground, I think that the council has said consistently that it's the street performers are not the focus of this attempt to correct some of the more outrageous activities on Pacific Avenue. And, you know, Tom and others, for different reasons, most of which I understand, some of which I agree with, don't think that's a credible position to take. But I think that the council felt that some kind of strong statement had to be made. Really, there are different vested interests, different interested parties, whether it's a panhandler or a street musician or a merchant or a downtown host. It just falls to the council to be the ones who finally supposedly speak in some sense on behalf of the whole community. And we, in a situation like this, of course, we don't necessarily do it very well. But I think it was important for the council to say, you know, the pendulum has kind of swung too far. We're getting far too much feedback from people about kind of an ugly spirit downtown. A lot of people, women, older people, children, people with families are feeling very intimidated. And, but it's not focused on performers. Now, what Tom... I don't know if Tom has observed it or even considered it an issue, but the pretext of performing can be used as kind of a foil for other activity. I mean, you sit with a couple of bongos between your legs and say, I'm a street performer, but not all performers are the same quality. Not all performers are equally responsive to merchants. We're getting some very clear testimony even today at the Downtown Commission from people saying, you know, young women working in downtown restaurants, you know, we're facing a lot of harassment. And when you speak to people, they say, well, I'm a musician, I'm a performer, whatever. So I think this will sort itself out. I remember I've often used this example with the contrasting some of the downtown issues in 1994 over panhandling and the drummers issue, because the drummers were willing to say at the outset, yeah, we got a problem here. We want our downtown to be a place where senior citizens and all range of people, workers, students can live comfortably with an urban environment, but still can sleep, you know, so many hours a night and so on. And the drummer said, for God's sakes, please don't do anything. Let us work this out amongst ourselves. And I think largely in a similar vein, it worked out. In this instance, you know, maybe Tom's and others' interventions weren't as clear to us or as early to us as we felt the need. We felt a statement had to be made and we needed to move on it.
All right, let's take a phone call here, and we'll do that in just... And let's see, our first caller is Colleen. She's let me get all of these things in order here and press the button and say, hi, Colleen.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. I was at the meeting today, too, and back in 96, I was a facilitator of the drummers meeting together. And it really is like what was going on before. There's some bad behavior downtown, and instead of let's deal with that, only it's broadening out to tablers and street performers. And I really like that you're separating street performers from the other violence issues because they're generally not accepted, together. And I just want to say, it really, the situation of the voluntary guidelines really reminds me of conflict resolution. I've been a mediator with the Conflict Resolution Center. Particularly, they work in our small claims court, and in mediation, handle both sides' interests together, avoid the court, and people get what they want in voluntary situations as opposed to dealing with a law that a judge is going to decide and you don't really get what you want. So I really support that voluntary guideline approach.
All right, well, thanks for your call, and we'll let both parties respond to it. And if you would like to join us, you can reach us at 476-2800, 476-2800, or 1-800-655-5877. And you can talk to either Tom Noddy, well, you can talk to both Scott Kennedy and Tom Noddy at the same time, and they'll try to answer your questions, and we'll certainly be happy to listen to your comments. So give us a call if you'd like. We got about 15 minutes left here, and anybody want to respond to that last one?
I appreciate the caller, and I do remember her work. You know, it's a good topic, this the drumming issue that Scott brought up and this caller referred to. In 1996, actually, I think it was very parallel to what just happened. There was a complaint. There were some drummers who were banging right across the street late into the night across from what was then the El Centro, still the El Centro, where a number of senior citizens were living. The council, outraged, passed some thing in one reading that would ban drumming after 8 p.m. everywhere throughout the city, including down on its beach where they got the cliff to their back and the sea in front. They just ended up, you know, are you in favor of drunks drumming or old people sleeping? It was an easy question.
What was the answer? Remind me.
But they hastily passed this thing in one reading, and then they had a second reading, and, I mean, it was hot knife through butter. It went through with only one dissent the first time, so everybody thought it would pass readily. But instead, a group of drummers showed up at the meeting, and Scott was the one who, after hearing from the drum community, who knew there was a drum community, Scott made the proposal to a relieved council to find a way out of this, which was, maybe he suggested Tom Noddy could work with the drummers as he worked with the street performers in the past, coming up with voluntary guidelines and perhaps deal with the residents in the downtown hotels. And we did just that, and that caller helped to facilitate some of the meetings with the drummers. We came up with voluntary guidelines for drummers, and the council waited and allowed the community to address it short of this hammer they were about to lower down on our heads, because Scott had the wisdom at that time to halt this heavy thing that was about to happen. Unfortunately, this one was very much like it. I attended these community meetings, and there was everybody who spoke on both sides of the issue said, look, it's not about street performers. And then they would tell some awful story of being harassed downtown, but it's not about street performers. And the result was the council came up with an amendment to an ordinance that only regulates street performers and information tables. They also passed some others that regulate panhandlers.
Let me ask you this. Somebody who's like reading tarot cards, I see that down there. Is that a street performer?
No, there's a separate law that it's a 1969 law that actually regulates the metaphysical here. honest to God, in Santa Cruz, there's a separate metaphysical law.
So that means that they can't do that
without a license. They essentially don't issue licenses.
Are there any other people that have been? There's a lot of people that seem to like to sell beads down there. That's they're competing with the merchants. I would think they would be moved along right away.
The city of Santa Cruz won a pretty significant case against people who were selling T-shirts down on Beach Street.
Yeah.
And this was presumably done under the guise of a nonprofit status. But really, it was just commercial competition without the benefit of paying taxes or paying insurance or rent or anything like that. So I think there's a pretty... even the merchants don't agree to a certain kind of commercial sales, but we haven't struck we basically didn't deal with that issue this round because it takes the kind of time that we're talking about. But
so people can, and do I have
no,
that right?
No, they really can't. And
but nobody does anything about it.
I think they do things about it, but it's usually done, you know, people are approached and asked to stop.
Yeah, and well, I think maybe where some of the problem lies is they say sure, and then they move to another spot.
Yeah, that's always the problem.
Yeah. And more recently.
But if Tom would solve this, you know, I personally didn't suggest that he solve this one because I'm hoping he's going to go to Iraq and solve that one. But if he wants to stay here and solve this, I'd certainly be very supportive.
Yeah, like you put me in that drummer thing. Man, I don't hang out with the drummer. Suddenly I was dealing with the whole drum issue.
Let me give the phone numbers here again. 476-2800, 1-800-655-5877. If you'd like to comment or ask a question to either Scott or Tom about this issue of musicians
but
and entertainers downtown.
To go back to that point about Common Ground, we're not, the Santa Cruz City Council is not moving. First of all, it's incapable of moving decisively. Secondly, because it's a huge bureaucracy, to get the city to move on anything is very difficult. We're not moving in some kind of draconian way to eliminate music on the mall or political tabling on the mall. And I think that my recollection is 1993-94 that the council had thrown the First Amendment out or thrown the Bill of Rights out, you know, completely undercut the Constitution with the measures taken in 93-94. Those, in fact, had very limited effect. It's largely a public statement by the council of some kind of community standard and saying that we need to kind of rein things in, and then it works itself out very slowly and very crudely over time. And, you know, I don't think now people are talking like we're going to throw out the First Amendment again. Well, I thought we threw it out in 93-94. Now they're defending the ordinances and the mall as it's been operating for the last 8 years. So, but I think if it comes every 6 or 8 years, it's ugly, it's awkward. I think we just have to rein in the rhetoric a little bit and not attribute to people motivations that aren't in fact there.
But Scott, see, and I don't believe it is motivations. I believe that this city council intended not to bring a hammer down on street performers. But they did, because the law is such a blunt instrument for making these messages. You spoke on that night when Christopher Crone asked the council, yes, but how does amending these laws deal with sexual harassment downtown? How does amending panhandling street performing information tables, how does that address the violence downtown?
The council members
kind of looked blank, and you responded by saying, well, it may not, but it's a message from this group.
But it does in a very decisive way, which, people have different experience. What people refer to metaphorically as running or walking the gauntlet. To expand, in effect, the public aspect of the sidewalk so people can walk from point A to point B without having to wind through a crowd of people, in some cases, people who behave less civilly than I wish they would, that does address these behaviors. It makes a big difference, and it's not just for, like I said, it's seniors, it's families with children. I can't tell you how many instances, credible reports we get about the behavior of people who feel they have to, in effect, fight their way through a crowd to get into a store or just down the sidewalk.
Right, so what do you do about it?
The difference makes a difference.
Well, what do you do? I mean, what are you going to do? Say, okay, let's take the street performers out of it. They're behaving themselves.
Yeah.
And the tablers, they're behaving themselves. And even the people that are selling the beads, they're being okay. But there's these groups of people, large groups, and by that I mean 15 to 20 people standing around. Yeah. How can you deal with that?
Now says you have to be 14 feet from the front of the building, which means that at the very least, people have to congregate out towards the curb, and somebody can walk along a building without having people on both sides.
So is that what the hosts are supposed to do?
No.
Oh, that's the police job, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it becomes an issue, somebody can complain. I mean, today I was at a restaurant. I won't give it away because I don't want to get this person in trouble. There's a performer there. I don't think he's particularly good or really...
Well, that's not the question,
That's a subjective question. But he's there in front of this restaurant. People are walking by. Nobody's bothering.
Yeah.
And nobody calls to complain. Now, that's considered selective enforcement. But had he been a problem, somebody probably would have called and said, and then eventually the cop's going to come and say, you got to move on.
We got a call here. Let's take one more before we get out of here. And let's say hello to Bruce. Hi, Bruce. Are you there, Bruce? There you are. No? Come on, Bruce. Bruce doesn't want to come up here. I don't think I can press that button any harder. Well, sorry, Bruce. Press that button and nothing happened. So anyway, we're just about ready to wind it up here. We got a couple minutes. What's going to go on now, Scott? What's going to happen? What can people
Well, I think I was there at the beginning, but didn't stay for the end of the meeting because I knew I'd get my chance later. But I don't see that the council's going to. My guess is the council's going to say, let's work with this over time. But most of the elements, I don't see the council rescinding or putting off for another 60 years. If it's bad, 60 days. If it's a bad idea, just revoke it and move on. But I think the conversation that's going on is good. I think insofar as musicians and people on the street can interact with the business people, take their concerns seriously, taking seriously the kind of feedback we get from the public, that's the essential thing.
Let's take, is this you, Bruce? Hello, Bruce? Is that you? Hello, Bruce? Not getting you, Bruce, sorry. Tried twice, no Bruce.
Let me respond.
Sure.
Because I have to say, the guidelines, it isn't simple to try and put the guidelines out there and to have people pay attention to the guidelines, approach this voluntary guidelines. It was part of an agreement between the performers and the city. What we wanted them to do was not pass laws that are specific to street performing. If somebody's disturbing the peace, use that law. If somebody is, attacking somebody with a guitar, that you have laws against attacking people. You don't need performer-specific laws. We asked them, don't pass performer-specific laws because it's too blunt an instrument for dealing with this art that's going on down there. If you don't pass that, we offer you these voluntary guidelines. They're handed to performers. They say 35 street performers came to consensus on the following guidelines. The following guidelines, then, are a list of the rights of our neighbors, of the merchants, of the people living downtown. Those are handed to all the new performers that come into town. We're adding our peer pressure to the voice of the merchants when asking somebody to move to another spot, don't stay longer than an hour. We add our voice to that. We offered that in exchange for no laws to regulate street performers. The council just abrogated that agreement, the agreement we've had for 22 years until July, just now, July. This council...
But Tom, in your estimation, the last 6 months, for example, has that agreement been working?
Yeah, I think it has been working. The problem is it hasn't been put out there to enough people. The current group of hosts have stopped using it as a way to introduce the performers who come to town to what's going on or to the merchants. They've only used it as an enforcement tool, another blunt instrument. I think that the hosts became really key to this. They needed to spread the word. They stopped doing it 2 years ago. There was a change of personnel, and things changed at the host's office. And they stopped putting the word out, and then people say, well, you know, the performers aren't... I know.
Well, you know, also the city had a psychiatric social worker on the mall that was an open position. We've reinstated that, so I think the situation will improve.
Well, we hope so, and I thank both of you for working on this. Tom Noddy's been only working on it for 22 years now, and he will continue, I am sure, and we'll try
from
to...
Europe, yeah.
Yeah, by long distance. And Scott, thanks for coming down and filling this all in. You have been listening to Tom Noddy and Scott Kennedy on Talk of the Bay. I'm your host, John Sandy.
Wow, that ended before I thought it would. That was, of course, a show that aired in August on another radio station, KUSP, pirated, as one might imagine, from that radio station. You are listening, of course, to a pirate radio matey at 96.3 FM or www.microradio.net/FRSC, in case you want to pick us up when you're out of the area. We're shortly going to be having a call from Jennifer Whitehorse of Santa Monica, California, where homeless activists, civil rights supporters, and the community are fighting back against gentrification bigotry, as I like to call it, laws that are criminalizing homeless people for, and homeless service providers, I should say, for serving people food. And she's going to be talking about that. We had a similar problem way back in 1989 here in Santa Cruz when then-Mayor Marty Whiplash Wormhout, now our esteemed supervisor, unleashed the police against the food servers at the town clock after they had embarrassed her in a Thanksgiving Day parade by demonstrating the magnitude of the homeless problem in Santa Cruz and her failure to deal with any of it, even after the election had given her a progressive majority in 1988. And there was a whole round of attacks on food servers in Santa Cruz. A number of us went to jail up in San Francisco. I served about a month in jail at that time for serving free food. So it's not a new issue, but here in Santa Cruz and San Francisco, it's kind of quiescent, but not in Santa Monica. And let's see who's calling in. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Free Radio. This is Eon Blues.